We continue our series on the memory verses that are important to the Christian life, Christian faith. One of the things that we've been careful to note, though, is that we're not just pulling verses out of context. In fact, we're looking for the contexts that just demand that we lift these verses out. And they're important to our hearts. They're important to our minds. They're important to the way that we live our lives. And so we're working on internalizing these, hiding them away in our hearts so that we might not sin against God. And today we get to a passage that's about endurance for the Christian. And so I want to take a moment and pray for us, and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we need your presence and we need your help as we read and we pray through your passage, through your word. We need you so much. Please reveal more of your glory and your greatness and your love to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we are looking today, the verse is divided up, and I'll draw the context out around the verse, so if you happen to have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up to Hebrews 12, you'll be able to look and follow along. But today we're going to just focus in on the memory verse, consider him who have endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And there are, under considering Jesus, what the passage is about is considering Jesus, and under that we are considering his endurance, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. We're considering his energy, so that you may not grow weary, and we're considering his encouragement, so that you may not grow faint-hearted. Okay? So let's jump in. First, growing weary and faint-hearted, having trouble enduring. What it means, what the author means is that if you come to rest on Christ and in Christ for who you are with God, for your relationship with God, that you have to endure being different for the sake of God, for Jesus' sake, because he calls us to be different. He calls us to be distinct. He calls us to be holy. Holy means set apart, right? And throughout the fuller passage, what we see is that he's calling us to be distinct. God is calling us to be distinct in enduring those who are against us, in enduring those or those things that are embittering us, and enduring those or things who are attracting us. Okay? And what happens when we have to endure all of those things as Christians? We become exhausted. We get exhausted, and that's who the author is talking about. We're exhausted, for example, at being distinct in a way, in the way in which we pursue peace with those who are against us. That's exhausting. It's exhausting to do. Verse 14 of chapter 12 says this, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." What the author is getting at is, if we're at odds, if we're living at odds with one another or with others, that's not to be set apart. That's not to be holy. And there's a problem with that. There's a problem. I was watching, you know that I love to cook. Most of you do. And I was watching Chef's Table. They have several iterations of it. And I was watching a newer iteration with a German chef who's risen to the top. And this guy is a complete jerk. He's such a jerk. He said, matter-of-factly, in a way more explicit than I'll say here, that he basically undermined everybody that he worked with to get his way to the top. He would go to the manager, and if he and another chef were in line for a certain position, he would go to the manager every night and tell the manager how much that other chef was screwing up. He would just continually press his way into that and worm his way up. Now, what Jesus calls us to is something very different. He says, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So in that case, we're not to live like that. We're to pursue peace instead of getting it over on somebody else. And that is actually exhausting, especially when somebody is against you. Have you ever tried to be loving and pursue peace with somebody who's undermining you? Put yourself in a position where you're the other chef and the German chef is undermining you. It's exhausting to have to try as hard as you can to live at peace with someone like that. But that's what we're called to. Okay? So we become exhausted that way. We also become exhausted by pursuing grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Instead of letting ourselves, so we get exhausted by pursuing grace, instead of letting ourselves slowly become bitter over time. And what verse 15 of our surrounding chapter in context says is, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. What the author's getting at is he's saying to become bitter is to miss the grace of God. To become bitter is to miss the grace of God. Envy is believing that you're more deserving of what someone else has than they are. Envy, and when you don't get it, and you're looking at that other thing that this other person has over and over again, you become bitter because you don't have it, and you believe that you deserve it, and that misses the grace of God. And the author warns against that. If you do that long enough, you're going to grow bitter. And it's completely opposite. And to do that, to work against that, is exhausting. I remember, you guys know who Chuck Swindoll is? So, a preacher, pastor. He was important. Some of his writing was important to me when I was first sort of revitalized in my faith as a young 20-something. And I read some of his work and went to one of his conferences. And he told a story about these two guys who were in a hospital room, and they were arranged together. They were old, and they were arranged together, and they were going to be there for a while. And the one guy couldn't see. Because of his vantage point from his bed, he couldn't see out the window. And the other guy said, well, you know what? I'll tell you all about what's going on, about what's going out the window, though you can't see it. And we'll do it that way. And so he told him about how there were kids playing, or how there was a dog walking across the street, or how there was an ice cream truck. And he would just describe this window day after day. The other guy in the bed got more and more bitter because he didn't have the window. He couldn't see for himself. So the fellow who was telling the stories, one day his alert goes off and he needs medical attention. And no one can hear it. And so the guy in the bed who was benefiting from the stories just leaves everything go. He doesn't call for attention. And the guy ends up dying. So morbidly, the other fellow in the bed says, yeah, I'll get to be by the window. They moved him by the window to bring somebody else in. And it was a brick wall outside of the window. That kind of bitterness, that kind of envy, that kind of being taken over forgets the grace of God. We forget it. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. And to do that, to work against that tendency, is exhausting. If you've checked the bitterness in your own heart, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a constant measuring out. It's a constant sort of checking and holding at bay the way that our hearts interact with what's going on around us, what others have, who they have, whatever it is. We've got to be careful there, and that's tiresome. The last example that the surrounding passage gives for ways that we can become exhausted deals with our appetites. It's interesting, when you first read 16 and 17 in chapter 12, initially you think it's about sex, sexual immorality, right? But listen to what it says. It says that no one is sexually immoral, and then listen how he spins out the next part. Or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. What we're talking about here, what the author is talking about here, is that we get exhausted by desiring to represent God well as a son or daughter, rather than feeding our desires and appetites. You see that? We get exhausted. It's exhausting to do that. To serve our everyday desires before we serve the Lord is to miss out on the inheritance in his family. It's to miss out on the bigger picture of what's going on. We've talked in the past weeks about misordered desire. You know, if you love your career more than your kids, it's going to destroy your kids. If you love food more than you love your health, it will destroy your health. If you love sex more than you love your husband or your wife, it will destroy your marriage. C.S. Lewis was a Christian author, and he put it this way: if you aim at heaven, you will get earth thrown in. If you aim at earth, you get neither. Now we grow weary and we grow faint-hearted and we have trouble enduring these things because they're exhausting to endure. We have trouble to endure, we have trouble enduring being different for the sake of God, and we're tuckered out. We can't keep going, so we think. So the author points us to our verse. He says, consider Jesus. Consider him, right? And Christians must consider him lest they become exhausted. We must consider him in his endurance in the face of such bitter hostility, lest we become exhausted in the race. He uses the analogy of a race, and he's going to talk about how we're sons and daughters now. Look at this. Our author of Hebrews uses two vivid words when he writes about the danger of growing weary and faint-hearted. There was one commentator who pointed out that Aristotle uses these words of an athlete who flings himself on the ground in panting relaxation and collapse after he's just surged past the winning post of the race. And what's going on here? What's going on? The author of Hebrews gives us the picture of endurance as you seek to finish the race. You've got to be disciplined as a runner. And he takes that idea of disciplined as a runner and continuing on and pressing on and using everything you've got. And he talks about how that's discipline from the Father. Now, this is important. Discipline because God, through Jesus, is now God our Father. Do you remember what we said at Easter? Mary approaches Jesus after his resurrection. And Jesus says, don't hold on to me. He didn't mean don't touch me. He meant that you're clinging to me just to be here, but I'm going to ascend and send my spirit so that everyone can have me with them all the time if they believe in me and my work, right? And he said to Mary, tell the disciples, I'm going to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Something profound happened there. There was a change in our relationship with God through his work, where God becomes our Father rather than our enemy. Rather than being at war, we're now brought into God's family because Jesus was excluded. That's huge. It's profound. Verse 7 says this, it is for discipline that you have to endure these things. It is for discipline. God is treating you as sons or daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you go down in the chapter to verses 11 and 12, the author says, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Do you hear that? The author of Hebrews is saying, don't give up. Don't give up too soon. Don't relax before the tape. Don't collapse until the winning post is passed. Stay on your feet until you get to the end. And we do that by considering Jesus. We remember the great exchange of the gospel. This is the means by which we grow in the Christian faith, by which we actually endure the things that are so exhausting to endure. By considering Jesus in our place in us and his, we can be disciplined as sons and daughters by God, our Father, because Jesus was judged on the cross as an enemy of God in our place. So consider Jesus' endurance. As we consider him, consider his endurance. He who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, he's the transformation of conflict. He's the transformation of conflict that we're in. He was exhausted, but he was distinct in the way in which he pursued peace with those who were hostile to him. And so as you consider him, you can have the energy to push through and do the same. Consider his energy, that you may not grow weary. He's the transformation of bitterness. He was exhausted, but pursued grace, unmerited favor, instead of letting himself slowly become bitter over time. He operated by grace. That's how we come to God, through unmerited favor. And consider his encouragement, that you may not grow faint-hearted. He's the transformation of our desires. He was exhausted, but he put his desire to represent God well as a son first, rather than just feeding his desires as appetite. Our passage today, our memory verse is this. Say it with me. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Consider Jesus. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you our all, we give you our hearts, we give you our minds, we give you our lives. We ask that you would renew us there, that you would renew us through the consideration of what you've done, Lord Jesus. I'm thinking of the Apostle Peter, who says we've been given everything that we need for life and for godliness through a knowledge of you, Jesus. And so we ask that that knowledge would deepen, that it would enrich our lives, that it would make our relationship with you closer, that we would be transformed people as a result of your love for us. Be with us now as we go into our week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.